Father, we thank you for the body of Christ, and we thank you so much that we're a part of that. And God, that when you've called us to yourself, you just didn't call us to that intimate relationship with you, but you called us to a relationship with each other. And God, that we can not only fellowship with you, but fellowship with each other and also minister to one another, minister our gifts, and that you have a special purpose for us on this planet in ministering in the body of Christ. Bring us to that knowledge. Bring us to that understanding. Help us to understand our special strengths so that we might truly please you in all that we do. Father, we know that getting is great, but Father, giving is joyous and it's a blessing. And help us to have that kind of mentality when we get together on Sundays, that we would constantly give to each other and at the same time glorify you, to please you and to honor you. And that's what we want to do now. Open up our hearts and our minds to the Word of God now. Be our teacher, and in Jesus' name, amen. Well, what's the bad news this morning? The bad news this morning is that statistics tell us that in the United States of America, almost all women get married before they're age 31. And most men get married before their 35th birthday. Therefore, that means that a woman can be considered a spinster in our country by the age of 32. And a man could be considered a confirmed bachelor by the age of 36 in our country. But really, that's good news, isn't it? Because that means that for the large majority of you, that your time to get married is fast approaching. For most of you, that means 4 to 8 years. Can you imagine that? Some of you guys are going, no way. Hey, but it's there, and sometimes it hits when you least expect it. And it's coming. But that's also bad news, since marriage is not easy. Or is it all the time fun, and it's something that really doesn't come natural? Actually, it's a lot of tough, serious work as well as bliss. And that's really bad news. But that's really good news, too, because since you're not married, you can spend all this time that you have before you're married to get ready. And that's why we're doing this series that we're doing right now, that you can get ready for that great event. You can prepare for your choice of and life with your marriage partner, which is really second to only salvation as the greatest event and greatest decision that you're going to have to make. And that's why we've been studying the role of men and the role of women in our series, Let the Men Be Men and the Women Be Women. And it's been great to, again, have that kind of feedback that we've been talking about from Titus chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. And let's once again look at that passage, would you, at those essential qualities of a woman and a man from Titus chapter 2. And let's understand that these qualities not only describe the role of a woman and describe the role of a man, but they also give us the young single adult's character goals for life. I mean, whether you are a celibate or whether you're someone who's going to be married, these are goals for you. These are directions for you. These are qualities that you need to have as a part of your life. So look at verse 4, would you, with me? And let's go through them together. Instead of reading them, I'll kind of summarize them and you can kind of apply them as we go through. Procedurally, you young women must be trainable by the older women to develop all the listed qualities. Let me repeat that one more time. Procedurally, not just with the Word and not just with the Holy Spirit. And yes, they are enough in our Christian life. But to really develop the qualities that are listed here, you really have to be trained into them. That's the first quality. The second one, biblically, the woman must fill out the commands and examples of Scripture concerning her role as a woman. Biblically. Maritally, she must like her husband. Like her husband. Or be prepared to like her husband to be. To emotionally care for him. Not just obey. She must maternally like her children or her children to be. And be prepared for that. And there will be times that that won't be easy. Mentally, she is to be sensible in all her decisions. Morally, she is to be pure in life and in thought. Domestically, she is to be a worker at home. Socially, she is to be a kind individual, manifesting good deeds. And spiritually, she is to be subject to her own husband, so that the Word of God isn't blasphemed, so that the Word of God is not dishonored. And let's stop right there. Since we are talking about the essential qualities of a young single woman, let's stop there. And soon, ladies, soon we'll be talking to the men. Very soon. We've been looking at each one of these qualities in depth as we've gone through this series. For those of you with us for the first time, we've been taking a look at each one of these things one at a time to try and really understand what the Bible means when it says these things. And again, today I'd like to kind of take a look at one more essential quality. Let's look again to Titus 2, okay? The next essential quality of a young single woman is that she be mentally sensible. Mentally sensible. I'd like to look at this quality and specifically what it means, how it applies, and then I'd like to also practically apply it. How we can walk away with her being more mentally sensible. And after all her priorities of loving her husband and loving her children and being trainable and being in that situation where she's going to be developed as a young woman of God, she should be mentally sensible. Now, what does that mean, to be mentally sensible? Well, it means basically three things. Number one, that she be in her right mind. That she be in her right mind. That she's not lost touch with reality. That she's not a quart low in the brains of life. That she's not slipped a groove in the record of life. That she is not mentally abnormal or displaced, and that she does not slip into states where she is feared or that her mental status is questioned. You ever been there? You know, some irate girl, you're going, hi, hi, you know, I said, no, get back. Positively, number two, it means that she's temperate, discreet, or self-controlled. Temperate or discreet or self-controlled. She maintains a state of mental calmness. She rarely becomes enraged or furious. And practically, sensibility means, number three, being morally alert. Being morally alert. Exercising common sense. Ever known somebody that didn't exercise common sense? And you kind of, why did you do it that way? You know, why did you do that? Sensibility means that they begin to function in a sense, common sense. They're prudent in their behavior. They use their mind to make decisions. They use their mind to make decisions. Now, what can really help us to understand sensibility before you get all confused and we get all technical is to look at its synonyms. Its synonyms. One synonym for sensibility is discretion. Is discretion. Which means to show good judgment. To show good judgment. To display discernment in one's lifestyle. A little child that doesn't have discernment will be riding along in a car and it's learned a few words like doggy and other things. And it looks at every four-footed animal and it says, doggy. Looks at a cow out the window, goes, doggy. Looks at a horse out the window, doggy. Looks at a daddy on hands and knees, doggy. You know, just everything, no discernment. Can't discern whether what is right and what is wrong or what specifically applies to each individual situation. A woman without discretion, just as an example, would consider any attention from a handsome Christian gentleman as an advance of true love. But actually, that advance could be lust. Could it not? It could be friendship. It could be genuine Christ-like concern. Or it even could be a combination of all of those. So a discerning woman would see some distinctions in the attention given from a man. Just as an example. Another synonym for sensibility for women is the word temperate. Actually, it's for both men and women, but specifically applied today to women. Which means the display of moderation in all decisions. No extremes. They're not at one end of a scale and then another end of a scale, or always making absolute issues and decisions concerning areas that don't need that. She has a life that's bound within certain self-imposed limitations, avoiding all extremes of excess. A junior hire who's not temperate would respond to somebody who throws a little pee at them at a meal, you know, at a camp. A junior hire without temperance would then, in response to that little pee being thrown at him, take his whole tray and throw it back at that individual. A woman that's not temperate might respond to a man who says he loves her by giving herself emotionally or physically to that individual on the basis of his words, not on the basis of his character or his lifestyle or who he is or where he stands with Christ. Temperance. A third synonym for sensibility is the word in Scripture translated self-control, which is that quality which enables an individual to sacrifice immediate pleasures to secure ultimate purposes. Let me say that again. Self-control is that quality which enables an individual to sacrifice immediate pleasures to secure ultimate purposes. Ultimate purposes. you're willing to control your life to achieve your life-given goals in Christ. It is restraint that exercises or is exercised over one's impulses, over one's emotions. Listen to that, ladies. Over one's urges, wants, and desires. It is that restraint that is exercised over all of your wants, desires, urges, emotions. It is the choice to only follow the Word of God over and above any other commitment to boyfriend, whether he is the one or not. Self-control, sensibility. A woman or man who lacks self-control will not be able to say no to emotional and to sexual desires for greater intimacy and will compromise, like many in our group have already done. It's true. They will. If they do not have this concept and this principle of quality of sensibility, which issues forth in self-control in their life. You see, sensibility is essential. It's essential. It is essential for the young woman. And notice, guys, when we get to your list, it is the very first quality on the men's list. That's how important it is for you guys. You see, without sensibility, you'll never manifest, ladies, the next quality in the list of Titus chapter 2. What is that? Purity. Purity. Without sensibility, you'll never be pure. You'll never be right before God in the area of your own purity, whether mentally or physically, whether you're married or not. A young woman must be trained to be mentally sensible, or Proverbs says she's like a ring of gold in a swine's nose. She's like a ring of gold in a pig's snout. Proverbs 11:22 says this: as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Who lacks discretion. Which means that just as a beautiful gold ornament would not only become filthy being placed in the snout of a pig, because the pig would slop into that junk and get it all dirty, but also it would be cheapened and become an object of disgust just because of the comparison between the beautiful gold ornament being attached to a pig. Do you follow the comparison of what the author of Proverbs is saying here? He's saying that so is a beautiful, lovely, perfect tin woman. I mean, you can have all the looks in the world, ladies, and without sensibility, without discretion, you're as ugly as a pig. As ugly as a pig. And the comparison in Proverbs is that you don't become ugly, you are ugly, whether you're physically beautiful or not. That's how important discretion is. That's how important being sensible is. Being sensible is that ability to count the cost in every situation. The ability to count the cost in every situation. Like a builder who takes a long, serious consideration before he builds a tower. Like a king who has a good, serious debate with himself before he goes out to battle with a king who has an army twice the size that he has. A woman who has sensibility will count the cost. She will think before she acts. She will plan ahead. She will organize. She will strategize, ladies. And she will premeditate not only her career, not only her schooling, not only her spiritual life, but also her relationships with men and the relationships that she will have with men. You know, some of you are saying, well, I'll be sensible as soon as you know, God give me a guy and I'll be really sensible. The issue here is that it's a quality of your life, a quality of your life that prepares you for that circumstance. And that's something that has to be cultivated. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen being filled with the Spirit. It happens as you mature and you seek to be sensible. It's essential that every woman take the quality of sensibility seriously. It is crucial that it become a habit of your life before it's called upon, before the real tests come in relationships, and before the real trials come from the pressures of an ungodly society demanding and pushing that you not be sensible. That's why sensibility is the most repeated quality in the book of Titus. Let me say that again. It is the most repeated quality in the whole book of Titus. And the Cretan society was not only ungodly, but it actually trained and encouraged its people not to be sensible. It trained its citizens to live without sensibility. Look at for a second at Titus chapter 1, would you? Titus chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. says this: one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. This testimony is true." That's incredible that Paul said that. "For this cause, reprove them severely, that they may be sound in faith." Comes from the same root that we're talking about. "Not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth." Now notice that the Cretans are always liars. They have no control over their speech. They're not sensible in their speech. They're evil beasts. They manifest wild and uncontrolled behavior. Notice that they're lazy gluttons, or literally their lazy bellies, meaning they show no control over their appetites and their desires. They're not sensible in their appetites or desires. And notice in verse 14, "They pay attention to myths and tickle their ears with men's opinions instead of spiritually controlling their life by obediently following the Word of God." And just like our society that tells us that it can't be wrong because it feels so right, just like our society that tells us the truth is relative, just like our society that tells us to go for the gusto, just like our society that says you deserve a break today, so throw up and crawl away. No, I'm sorry. And just like our society that says try it, you like it, the Cretan society taught its people not to live sensibly. It's the same thing as our society. Our society does not demand that you think before you act. It tells you don't think and act. Go by your impulses. Be just like an animal. Don't be distinct. And that's why Paul makes it sensibility his number one character quality when he writes to Titus. His number one character quality. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. It says that elders who lead the church, who shepherd the church, who oversee the flock, they must be sensible. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. It says there that older men are to be temperate, dignified, and sensible. They must be sensible. Look at verse 5, the verse that we're looking at right now. That younger women are to be sensible. Look at verse 6 of chapter 2. Urge the young men to be sensible. They must be sensible. And then look at chapter 2, verse 12. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live what? Sensibly. You know what it states there? It states that salvation itself instructs both male and female, both younger and older, to all live sensibly. That is a Christian quality, specifically applied here to younger women. Well, then how should it apply? How can we apply it? To you women, and then later on to you men, but just men, you don't have to tune out now. I'm sure there's some things you can pick up on as well. Well, how she can apply that first is in the area of her emotions. First in the area of her emotions. A woman should never let her emotions override or rule over her reason. You know, too many women have told themselves, and they've said this to themselves, either verbally or just in their conscience, that the man that they love will change. Heard that before? They will change. Or he'll find Christ. Or he'll become the leader that he's supposed to be. Only listening to their emotions when at the same time their minds tell them to get out before it's too late. And they need sensibility. Sometimes for the gals, they have totally trained themselves not to listen to what their mind tells them, an objectivity tells them, that they can't even listen anymore. All they listen is to their emotions and their desires, and they follow through in those situations. And they end up in a life of misery because the man is not being what he should be. A woman should not let her intuition rule over her logic, letting her feelings over a matter defy her thinking. That's really what we're saying. Like the woman who is not really going steady but stuck in a relationship, you know, not steady but stuck. But she lets her feelings of security keep her from breaking up. That happens a lot. It really does. Instead of saying, you know, this isn't good, this isn't honoring God, I'm not growing spiritually and neither is he, this is not a good thing. But instead of recognizing that fact and say, God, you know, give me the courage to do what's right, they just say, well, I'd rather be secure. I'd rather maintain and just hang in there. You know, a woman has also got to realize that generally she's very trusting. She's very trusting. That's what John was saying this morning. Women are very loyal. They're very trusting. It's a fact that a door-to-door salesman are trained to establish immediate trust with a woman. If they can establish trust within the first 2 minutes, they almost guaranteed, 9 times out of 10, will have a sale no matter what they're selling. I got Mack trucks out here, lady. You know, they trust her, they're going to buy one. And that's not a put down. That is not a put down. But that is just a fact that these men who are door-to-door salesmen are trained in. That's not a put down. And that's good. I'm glad that ladies are trusting. You know, because if my wife responded to factual things all the time, she wouldn't have married me. You know what I mean? Guys, if they knew the facts all the time and they responded that way, they wouldn't marry you. But they're trusting. They're loyal. They're committed. They become committed to you and they stay in that commitment. They're trusting, which is really good news. And men shouldn't take advantage of that either. I know some guys who are, quote, Christians, who know all the things to do. They say the right words after about the third or fourth date. They mention about love. They talk about marriage. They give flowers just to get what they want. It's true. There are Christian guys out there, gals, that will manipulate you and play on your trust. That's why you got to be sensible. And sometimes us guys, we don't even know what our motives are, do we, guys? And we don't know sometimes why we say certain things. And we have to be careful as well. Because we manipulate. And that's not right. But it happens. And if we're all living sensible, we'll avoid those things and avoid those pitfalls. Sensibility, women, demands that you cautiously trust. You cautiously trust. The second area of application for sensibility is an area of affections, physical affections. A young woman cannot let her Hollywood romanticism, fantasy feelings, or overzealous Christian idealism dictate her affections. The sensible woman chooses to be affectionate when her mind, convictions, and conscience agree with the Word of God. Let me say that again. The sensible woman chooses to be affectionate when in her mind and convictions and conscience all agree with the Word of God. That's sensibility. Not when her heart, her feelings, or her glands dictate otherwise. Well, a woman shows her immaturity, and so does a man, by not being sensible with her affections. You know, ladies, you got to think before you give a back rub. You got to think before you hug. You got to think before you express affection, kisses. We're going to talk more about that next week, and I want you to be here. But you got to think before you do things like that. Sometimes we don't think. We just get caught up in the emotions of the moment. The third sensible application is a lot like affection, in that she must think through it and be sensible about her habits. Her habits. You know, a woman must be sensible about her eating habits. And some of you are going, I know, I'm on a diet. I'm not talking about dieting. Every woman in the world is on a diet in America. You know, it doesn't matter. You're always on a diet. And you always want to be eating less. All the guys are on diets too. It's interesting now. You know, I don't want to eat that. I'm on a diet, you know. It's interesting. But the interesting thing about it is not just how much you eat, but what you eat. What you eat. You know, it's very difficult to be a godly wife and a mother when you're poor in health. And I just want you to know right now, and please understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to be very practical with you. That what you eat now will determine your health 5 and 10 years from now. It really will. And some of you are really going to be in a sorry shape. And you know, being a wife is tough. Being a mother is suicide when you're in poor health. It really is. It is hard work. It is hard work. Learn how to eat right now. Learn good eating patterns now. Learn how to prepare good food for yourself so you can feed your family properly later on. That's being sensible. Second area or habit that she needs to be sensible in is her spending habits. Spending habits. Whatever you do, ladies, don't develop a pattern of life or a habit of spending what you want, when you want it, and remaining in debt. Now, I bet you there's a bunch of you here that are in that situation right now, and the sensible thing to do would be get out of debt. Get out of debt. You know, one of the things that we ask on the Elders Marriage Council when we interview couples to be married is we want to know about your financial situation. We do. We want to know where you stand. Because if you're in debt, we may say, you get out of debt, then you get married if it's bad enough. And what you're doing by cultivating a pattern of life, by spending any time you want, you're going to step into suicide if you marry poor Farmer Joe. You don't know who you're going to marry. The guy may have 3 cents to his name or be in the ministry somewhere in Pocono, Idaho. You know, and he's not going to have any money at all. And you're going to have to learn how to live off of beans. And you think that's funny. That is a crisis when you've been used to just spending money anytime you want. That is a crisis. I just want you to know that most, if not almost all, serious marital problems are in the financial area. And almost all divorces have some complication of finances in them. That is a serious issue. And to be sensible, you begin to learn to use your money wisely now. She must also consider her sleeping and exercising patterns. Her habit of sleeping and exercising. The sensible woman stays healthy and stays diligent. You know, some of you gals have done all-nighters. You know, you've stayed up all night and studied and done that kind of thing, and you've been tired, but you've endured, stuff like that. I just want you to know, if you can think of the most tired moment of your entire life up to this point, it is nothing. It is nothing compared to how tired you will be when you have children. It is nothing. You know what most young married women with small children lust after? Sleep. And even when they sleep, they don't sleep. There is this sixth sense that women have that one ear is pressed up against their child's mouth while they sleep. It is true. I've watched her. This ear hangs out of her body. And it just, the kid, when they're young, can turn over and she'll go, "What's that?" And you're sound asleep, guys, and you're going, "Ha, ha, ha, you know what? Happened." They never sleep. And they're tired all the time. And you think you've been tired, you just wait. That's why you got to learn now how to sleep, how to manage your patterns of sleeping. Don't abuse your body so that you can't really perform what God may have already intended for you to be, which is a wife and mother. Don't blow it now. You better get ready, because it's coming. Some of you are going to go, "I remember you said that." The sensible young woman also considers her dressing habits. Her dressing habits. Be aware, woman, that not only does your dress reveal your character at times, but it also sends some very loud and clear messages. It really does. The sensible woman becomes aware of not only her own intended message of her dress, she also becomes aware of its possible received message. Its possible received message. The harsh reality is that there are certain clothes that you intend to look nicely in. You intend to look attractive in. You intend to show off your figure. You intend to gain attention. Or you intend to say you're available. And that's your intended message. And the received message is that you're a loose woman. Or that you're ready for some sort of sexual intimacy. And I'm speaking that as graciously as I can, but it is nevertheless true. And guys, you know what I'm saying. There are messages that are sent that sometimes aren't even intended, and the sensible woman begins to recognize and dresses accordingly, cautiously. There was a whole series done by UCLA and a bunch of psychologists, and it was announced on KNX News Radio, and I wrote for it and asked them to send me the report. And the report was that these psychologists did this incredible survey of all these junior high schools. And they asked junior high guys what they felt certain dress patterns were communicating. And almost all of them felt that a certain kind of pant was communicating that this girl was not only loose, but she was ready. That's what they said. That's what their received message was. And not one of those girls would ever think that that's what they were sending. But that's what they were sending. And you're not responsible, gals, for some perverted guy's thought patterns. I just want to make that really clear. You're not responsible for that. But the sensible woman is sensitive in the way that she dresses to not only the intended message, but the possible received messages. Now, the answer to that is not to be Victorian, okay? You know, neckline up here, you know, big sack, ashes thrown in the air, you know, whatever. But it's just to be wise, to be sensible, to be thinking about things. You know, yeah, we can't walk around always be trying to be careful of the weaker brother, but at least you got to be sensitive. Well, how do you find out? How do you find out what's the received message? Whatever you do on your next date, don't go, "What do you think my dress is communicating?" Okay? Don't ask some male acquaintance, some peer. Don't ask some older married guy. There are basically two sources that I really feel that are biblically available for you to figure out what the received message is. And that's your father, your dad, if you can ask him, or an older, godly woman, which is exactly what Titus is telling you to do. Well, besides her emotions, her affections, and her habits, the sensible woman must apply her common sense fourthly to her words. The sensible woman avoids gossip. She avoids backbiting. She attempts to be slow to speak and control her tongue. She seeks to edify, to build up, the things that I was talking about earlier today, as far as encouraging people who are around you, edifying them in the faith, always being cautious and reserved in her speech. And then fifthly, the sensible woman seeks to be controlled not only by the Spirit of God, but only by the Spirit of God and nothing else. She seeks to be controlled only by the Spirit of God. She's sensible in her behavior. She's in bondage to nothing external, like her clothing, like her music, like her television, like drugs, like liquor, or any other people. She is only submissive to the Word of God and its criteria for her life. And she works at making responsible biblical decisions. Proverbs 25:28 says this, "Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has, or a woman who has, no control over her spirit." And the sensible woman displays her true character positively by being spirit-controlled, negatively by not being externally controlled, positively by being a biblical decision-maker, and negatively by not making decisions on the basis of external influences or internal desires. She's sensible. She understands what truth is, and she responds to it. Well, concerning our response, how should we respond today? All right, for both men and women, how should we respond today, specifically for gals, though, this morning? Though this addresses primarily women, I'm sure that there's some things you men can apply. Number one, she makes a lifetime habit of asking herself, what's my motive? What's my motive? In your relationships, in your conversations, your dress, your patterns of life, are all these done for Christ's glory? I mean, the internal issue is really what matters. You know, every time we talk about something external like dress, I always fear. Because I get responses like, well, what do you mean? I mean, what do you want me to wear? You know what? You know what I want you to wear? I want you to wear an inner quality of sensibility. That's what the Bible says. Wear an inner quality of sensibility, and nobody has to worry about what you wear. But that's something that has to be developed. Something that has to be developed. Sensibility comes as a life is carried out dependently upon and subject to Christ. Not feelings, not ideas, not opinions. But it depends upon Christ and His Word. Are those your motives? Those are to be your motives. For Christ, for His glory, for His honor, independence upon Him. Might even be good on your mirrors, lady, and guys, this for you too, okay? To somehow put up there something that reminds you to ask that question concerning what you're wearing. You know, are you putting on the extra foo-foo juice for another reason other than just to smell nice, just to be pleasant? Or are you trying to allure? You know what I mean? Set the hook. Ooh, ooh, you know? Number two, to gain sensibility, one must know, love, read, memorize, and continually depend upon the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. That's your book, ladies. You ought to read that book every day, one chapter, because I think somehow God ordained that it fit our calendar. It's got 31 chapters. You ought to read a chapter a day and apply it to women. Just apply it, gals. Just apply it to women in general. That breeds sensibility. Number three, you should have gotten the message by Titus by now that in order to really manifest these character qualities, you've got to be trained into them. I'll say it again and again and again. You've got to have that relationship with the older godly woman. One of the drawbacks, in fact, the only drawback that I can think about is us meeting as a college group, is that you're somehow separated on Sunday from the whole family. You know what I mean? But in another way, we can talk about issues like this when we do meet like this. I'm not saying that that's a big negative. That's one negative. But somehow, some way, the reason that we've provided staff and the reason that we've encouraged your relationship with families is so that you might have that model if you don't have that in the home. You might be trained into these qualities. It's not an option, ladies. If it's not your mom, then it needs to be some other godly woman to necessarily appropriate these qualities the way that it needs to be. These older women are the ones who can give you godly counsel. They're the ones who can properly evaluate your life and progress. They can rescue you from many an error. And if you build a proper relationship with them, it's sweet fellowship. You know, and when your emotions really get intense and involved, they're probably the only one who can really set you straight because they know you. And that's why God gave us moms. But sometimes that doesn't work out. Number four, speaking of emotions, never give your emotions or your heart away to a young man. Now, I'm not talking about dating, and I'm not talking about your friends, and I'm not discouraging good, wholesome friendships that we have in our group. But what I am addressing here is that when you are getting to that place where you're thinking that you're going to marry this guy, never give your heart to a guy unless he meets basic essentials. Here they are, gals. Number one, he's a fruitful Christian. A fruitful Christian. Not one who says he is, but one who manifests fruit. If he doesn't manifest fruit, he may not be a Christian. How are you going to know if he doesn't know? Number two, a guy who, not perfectly, but consistently, is filled with the Spirit. And he manifests it in his life. Number three, a man who fills out his masculine role found in the Word of God. A man who fills out his role that's found in the Word of God. He's going to take leadership. He's going to see things from God's perspective. He's a guy that you can really follow the rest of your life. You're going to follow this guy. Number four, a man who has direction and goals and is seeing them actualized in some way now. Let me make that clear. It doesn't mean that he's got it all together. It means that he's in process, or at least he knows where he's going, or he thinks he knows where he's going, and he's making some progress that way. If he tells you all these things but takes no step towards them, that's a red flag. That's a red flag. Because he's saying one thing but living another. Number five, a man who manifests his maturity by knowing and living the Word of God and applying it daily to life. That's the key word, daily. He interacts with it daily. That's his authority. Because if that's his authority, he's never going to leave you. He's going to be the husband he's supposed to be. He's going to be the kind of man that you're going to want to follow. If the Word of God is the authority. If it's not, you don't have. He's subject to every whim in society. Somebody better looking comes along, all kinds of stuff. Number six, the man who has the approval of, and this is going to hurt a little bit, your parents. A man who has the approval of your parents. Now, there are some rare exceptions to that, but basically the approval of your parents. Your godly leaders, especially that older godly woman. And lastly, your closest friends. And I would say even in that order, your parents first, older godly leaders who have shepherded you and watched you and trained you and been involved in your life, and then third, your friends. In other words, a sensible woman guards her heart and is very careful who she becomes attached to. Very careful who she becomes attached to. On the other hand, ladies and men, you probably recognize that the college assistant staff are the epitome of all these qualities, and you go after them. I'm sorry. I thought I'd say that because I really love those people. Seriously, how do you recognize a person who's failed to guard their heart? How do you recognize a person who's failed to guard their heart? For the woman, the one who's devastated and crushed after a breakup. Ever been there, ladies? Most of you have, and that's because you failed to guard your heart. You gave too much away. Number two, for the man, the one who is guilt-ridden and aloof after a breakup. Ever been there, guys? You just kind of shun the situation, turn your back, walk away, try and forget it. You feel guilty. It's because you gave too much away. You gave too much away. It doesn't mean that you're going to be best of friends after a breakup, because those situations happen, and that you're going to always be as close, because that's a fantasy. That's a fantasy. But the bottom line is that you're going to be able to respect the dignity of both individuals, and you're not going to be totally crushed. Yeah, you're going to be hurt, but you're not going to be crushed and devastated. You know, maybe now for some of you is the time to plan out in detail what you're going to do to next time guard your heart, gals and guys. Number five, become sensible. You must be teachable. Teachable. The whole point of the Titus passage is that the younger women are taught these qualities by the older women. And the young women must ask questions. They must be a learner. They must become teachable. And the primary start of this is through prayer. Through prayer. Teachability starts with prayer. To become sensible, you must pray to your God about everything. Like David, who sought the Lord whether he should even go into battle or not. Not like Saul, who sought a medium. It's the source. The first source of teachability comes in your relationship. And if you're not a praying person, if you're not in prayer, you're never going to know if this guy or this gal is right for you. Never. You'll never know. To become sensible, you've got to seek first the right source and guidance that only comes through prayer. I guess simply speaking, and I want to speak frankly, in a relationship with a guy or a gal, you're never, ever going to know unless you walk rightly with God. If you're in His will, you're filled with the Spirit, you're walking obediently, you'll know that this is the guy for you. And if you're not, you'll never know. That's the criteria that God has laid out for you. It's heavy. Number six, the sensible woman is cautious in her relationships with men. What this means is with her friendships, her boy-friends, she's cautious to guard her heart. By the way, guys, you're really not doing your girls any favor by pouring out your heart every week to them and praying with them in such an incredibly intimate way on a weekly basis and thinking that they're not going to be emotionally drawn to you. That doesn't happen. That's not reality. You're not doing them any favors at all. God did not intend for that to be that way. With boyfriends, she's also cautious. First, she starts with a vertical relationship. She sees his qualities spiritually before she recognizes and pursues or is attracted to him in a physical way. And that's really hard to do. I mean, because the first thing you see is a physical appearance. And that's why these instant romances are such a fallacy, aren't they? You jump right in, and the goal is, you keep telling yourself, we're going to be friends, we're going to be friends, and you're hoping and hoping desperately that it'll work out. And sometimes it does, most of the time it doesn't. You need to be friends first. You know, you need to know who that individual is, that guy or that gal. You need to know their quality of life and be attracted to them because of their relationship with Christ. Not because they're cute. Not because they're good looking. Or charming. Or a hunk. Or popular. She's also cautious about the speed of her relationship, knowing that things begin with a friendship, which is mutual trust and respect. You can't trust somebody you don't know. You can't. You can't even respect somebody you don't know. And not with infatuation. You know, it really is frustrating to see these people jump into these relationships because they've bought the world's instant fantasy romanticism. They jump in, and then they're trying so hard to convince each other that they're friends. And you know how you can tell? They're always talking about the relationship. Aren't we good friends? Aren't we neat? Aren't we wonderful? You know why they're doing that? Because they're trying to convince each other that that's what they really are. It's not a natural thing that happens on the basis of a friendship. Number three, the sensible woman also knows her physical, mental, emotional, and social and spiritual limits. For every level of relationship, she knows where she's going to draw the line at every stage of relationship. She knows beforehand that her heart's going to be involved, and so she draws lines and standards, not just physically, but in every area prior to getting into a relationship. When it's a boy-friend, she knows where she's going to go in the physical, mental, emotional, social, spiritual limits. When it's a dating relationship, boyfriend, serious boyfriend, courting, pre-engagement, engagement, and marriage, she knows exactly where she's going to draw the line. Because that's sensible. Why wait until you're emotionally committed to an individual to decide, gosh, am I going to kiss him? Gosh, am we going to make out in the back of the seat? Gosh, are we going to... Because that's where most of the decisions are made, and that's not the place to make them. It's now! That's sensible. The mature woman who cannot control her physical, mental, emotional, social, or spiritual lives at every level is also the one who will not be able to control it in marriage. And that's the same guy who won't be able to control it in marriage. They're telling you what they're going to be like. And if they can't control themselves now, they won't be able to do it later because you don't change when you get married. You just change in your commitment. Heavy. You got to think about that. Is that the kind of person you want to spend the rest of your life with, who can't control himself, who can't set limits? Well, how do you start? Number one, compel yourself to do right. Some of you have made some drastic mistakes, and I saw some of your heads go down when we started talking about certain things. Some of you have done some big mistakes. You know what? You confess them, you make them right, Jesus makes you whiter than snow, and you start new, afresh, with some covenants before God, and say, I want to do right. I want to plan ahead. Even if I never had a date, I want to plan ahead. You know, for some of you, this is going to really be weird, but for some of you, you don't have a relationship with a guy or gal because God is being gracious to you and protecting you and telling you and trying to get through to you that you got to be ready for it before you get there. He's protecting you. That's the best thing he could ever do. And some of you refuse to get ready. Compel yourself to do right now. Number two, get consistent and accountable with an older woman. Number three, cancel out those wrong choices as much as you can. Change your patterns. Repent. That's what the Bible calls it. Number four, make some covenants and put them in writing. Ladies, you'll never remember them when you need to remember them unless they're in writing and stuck in your purse or wallet. To something to reflect on, or stuck in your Bible, or stuck in your quiet time notebook so you can remember exactly what covenants you've made before God. Well, what we'd like to do is close in a word of prayer. And those of you who'd like to stick around, we have some questions for you that we would like you to discuss in some groups. And if you don't want to stick around, you're fine. I know we're running a little late this morning. But I would pray that you would not turn your back. Listen to me before you wrap it all up. The things that we've talked about are nothing unless they're applied. They're nothing. And it's up to you to say, what am I going to do? How am I going to manifest sensibility and guide your relationships and just all of life? And prepare for that. As a young single woman, as a young single man, what are you going to do? And guys, I want to tell you something too. It's your responsibility, guys. Whether the girl has these standards or limits or not, it's your responsibility to set that pattern. This more applies to you than it does to the gals. Guys, you have to know. And you have to have the courage to say, you know, we can't step into this area because it's not right for us now. That's a leader. Someone who's not a leader says, you know, whatever. Goes with the flow of the moment. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that your word is so clear. And Father, that we can apply your word in a very specific way. I would pray, Father, that you've kept me from overstating. God, that you would help us to think through these issues seriously. That we would really be sensible men and women. That we would apply that whole concept and principle and character of sensibility to our lives. And Father, it's something that just doesn't happen being filled with the Spirit. It's something that we have to work at. Something that we have to really pray over. And we pray that you would help us do that. We ask this in Jesus' name.